Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berkowitz, your host today, where I am not interviewing our leading lady. I am interviewing a leading man today. I'm really excited about this because, you know, on a serious note, we are, as the world order and such chaos and so many things going on, you know, our topic and theme today is how to look at now as the time for success. And with all the chaos and, you know, things going on right now with the coronavirus, I'm delighted to introduce our leading man, who's Chris King, who's the president and CEO of Chris M. King, LLC. And what we're going to talk about is just, you know, work-life balance and how to seize opportunities in just this state of chaos we're in. So, Chris, how about that for a build-up? And say hello to all of our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Best introduction I've had that I can remember. So thank you. Well done.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad. Well, you know, I mean, I do. I know you and I know each other pretty well, and it's like we're always bantering. You know, that's how you do business. But, you know, I got to say, every time it's like I hear just the perspective that you have on how to look at life a little differently, you know, see, you know, our world and business world in a different light, you know, it really is about seizing opportunity in the state of chaos. And I'd love for you to just share kind of your perspective on right now with all that's going on. How can, you know, professional women specifically, that's our audience, we're international, how can women, you know, really look at business and opportunity a little different right now and kind of like, you know, carpe diem, right? Seize the day.
Right. Well, that, I mean, we're sort of forced into that, right? I mean, that's a great question. Where do we go from here and how do we get there? What can we do with this, right? Because these are the kinds of questions that that we need to ask, is because if we're so busy lamenting the way that it used to be, or trying to get it back to the way it used to be, or wondering how it's going to be moving forward, we're going to miss the opportunity to create what it can be. So it really starts with our minds. You know, it's all about mindset and perspective. So you really hit the nail on the head there.
I like that. You know, I think so many women right now just, you know, and interacting through our community and then, gosh, you know, throughout the country, right? And even saying in other countries, but for the U.S., it's like so many women are home right now, whether they own a business or they're, you know, told to be stay in place, working at home. They've got the kids home. You know, not that dads don't go through this as well, but I think there's just this piece of where you're just overloaded with life. And on top of it, business is thrown into the household. And so I'm curious, you know, for you, like, how can women, you know, find their sanity, you know, and find maybe, you know, through all this, we know business is changing as we know it, but how can someone go through and kind of look for opportunity amidst all that craziness that's in the household right now? Because it's definitely not at the beach. It's not, you know, in a hotel. It's not on vacations. It's like, well, the world and life and everything is all encompassed in your home environment right now.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And as if we didn't have a hard enough time, you know, separating things and compartmentalizing so that we're not pulled in every different direction all the time. That's, you know, because my business does tend to focus on a female clientele. And that's one of the big issues that we deal with, is that they're pulled in so many directions. And what they say to me is, Chris, it feels like my business and my life is running me instead of the other way around. And so this is a really great training ground right now in terms of boundaries, because this is really where it starts. It's all about boundaries, setting setting those boundaries and maintaining those boundaries. It's a little easier when you get to drive into an office because there's a physical separation, right? But now the kids are home and mom is home and dad is home and everybody's home, right? So there are some things you can do, like creating a dedicated workspace if you don't already have one. I mean, that's pretty common. I think that a lot of people know about that, creating that space and making sure that, you know, as silly as it sounds in this situation, no means no, you know? So if somebody, the kid comes over, husband, significant other, whatever, comes over and, hey, can you do this? The answer is no, I'm not actually here right now. I'm at work, and we need to look at it through that lens and understand that if people get upset with us for this, well, that's okay. They can just be upset, because if we don't honor those boundaries, we end up resenting them for our choice in letting them violate that.
Wow, I love that. I mean, just the other day I talked to one of our members, and she was like, I am in a state right now where she's not, you know, she has not had her kids home, and she's having to do the at the school, you know, what do they call that, the working, I'm not working at home, but she's homeschooling. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I don't have kids, but she was talking about how she is just really uncomfortable for her. So it's not even like something that she knows how to do. And then on top of it, she's running a business. And then on top of that, her husband is home with her. Right. So there's all those dynamics going on. And I think, you know, I'm just going to call bullshit for just one second. I think it sounds nice to set boundaries, but how do women do that? Because from the women I talk to, all of them are saying, there's no boundaries for me to set. You know, mom has got to, you know, be the chief conductor right now. And it's really hard. I don't see how women can set boundaries. Like, what would be some steps to do that? And I know you said you work with a lot of women, so I'm really dying, because I would imagine this is a common topic that comes up.
Right. And this is actually a great conversation, because you sort of highlighted the problem itself. You're already in that mindset of there's no way to do it. It's impossible. We can't. Here's all the reasons why it doesn't work. And there's a great quote, and I don't know who said it, but it said, if you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. And so this really does start with you. You know, this is a choice that you are making. And so so there's a trick that I like to use, because this actually will change brain chemistry a little bit. And when we get stuck in I don't know, it's a very sort of kind of a place of surrender. I'm just raising the white flag. I don't know. Throw my hands up. If we change I don't know to I wonder how, that's the first thing. I wonder how. Step two would be stretch out into the fantastic, into the ridiculous, into the absurd. It's what I like to call banana world. Go into this world that doesn't exist and isn't possible, and give yourself permission to stretch out into that place of impossible. Because what ends up happening is, when we give ourselves permission to go way out there, as we start to think about viable solutions and sort of naturally dial it back, we have opened up the doors to possibility and solution, because our brain is actually thinking in a different way.
Yeah, I like that. I really like that a lot. You know, with the women you said you worked with a lot of women. So what are some of the common things? You know, it could be chaos of any sort, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be just because the coronavirus is going on. But women, you know, we have a lot of baggage, right? We carry on a lot of burden. It's like we have a lot that we're responsible for. We don't want to be as responsible for everything as much. But what are some of the things that you commonly see, you know, with women when you're dealing with business leaders, and specifically those maybe that have children as well? Because I see a lot of guilt, just a lot of frustration, you know, that kind of thing. But what are some things that you see in some of the workings with women you have, and what do you walk me through?
Well, I think it depends on what stage she's at, right? If I'm working with a CEO of a $30 million company, it's very different than working with an entrepreneur who's getting started and maybe, you know, a few hundred thousand or $1 million a year in revenue or something. It depends on the state that they're in. I will say that it does come back to that mentality where I have to, because, right? Now, this is this is victim mentality. I have to, then, and it's all of this stuff. There's two things I see happening a lot. One is the I have to because, like, my significant other isn't around as much, or he won't do it, or she won't do it, or, you know, and so that's one of the things, is that they believe that they actually have to do this. And recognizing that, no, you're making a choice here. This, because if you don't acknowledge that this is a choice that you're making, then you don't have any power to affect it. So I think that's the first thing. Step two, and that I see so much, is that, and as a man, I'm pretty high on my priority list most of the time. I mean, top three, right?
Right.
But in my experience, women tend to be dead last on their priority list, right? It's her significant other and the kids and the house and the job and her mom and blah, 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 right? And she's getting leftovers of her own life, right? And so it really is important to understand that once we get ourselves in that position of empowerment where I don't have to, I have been choosing to, and how do we flip the pyramid upside down? And as they say on the aircraft, put your mask on first.
Right. Love that. You know, how did you get into, for what you do, how did you, I mean, was it a choice? Did it just happen where it's like you ended up working mostly with women? Because I want our listeners to know about your background. I mean, it's quite diverse, if I can say that, and just, I mean, fascinating to me with this whole mind-brain chemistry kind of thing that you always bring out. And I'm fascinated with that, you know. But how did you get into where you're at now and working with women?
Well, that's a great question, actually. I joke about this, but I think I'm kind of wired like one. Because all growing up, my friends tended to be girls. I understood them really well. They seemed to understand me. And I never understood all these as I got older. You know, these men would say, oh, men don't understand women. No man will ever understand a woman. And I didn't understand that statement because I'm like, what are you guys talking about? They're not complicated, right? And there's a couple of, and really a woman, if you give her truly safe space where there is no hidden agenda and no ulterior motive and no judgment, you give her that kind of space in 20 minutes, she will tell you everything. So I've moved through my life, kind of reinvented it a few times. I was a marketing director and I came up in tech and in healthcare. I decided I was miserable with my life and I wanted to make the impossible happen. So I traded in a six-figure career to become a radio DJ and make $12 an hour part-time. And so that taught me a lot about how to maximize resources and also how do I make the impossible possible? Because, you know, to become a radio DJ in Los Angeles is, you know, that's statistically laughable. It's just not going to happen. Well, I made the impossible possible. So, and you know, I combine all this with the reality was that I was honestly a psychological shit show for a big part of my life. And I had to do a lot of work in recoding my own inner world and my system so that I could realign it with a new life and a new outcome.
Wow. And that shift and that realignment, was that where you went and sought education? Was it just feel the force kind of thing? I'm going to Star Wars here, or was it, we all have a shit show. It was, how did you do that?
You know, it was, that's a great question. I can tell you the day that things shifted. It was about 3 weeks after my second wife had left me. And later on, I actually judged her a little for not leaving me sooner because I was a mess. I was going to work one day. I opened the front door of the house, and this wind blew through the doorway. And something completely shifted. And the world, literally, Michelle, the whole world physically looked different. It was one of those, and this sounds so campy, but I'm going with it anyway, because it just, the sky got bluer, the trees and the grass got greener, the air was clean and fresh, and everything was just more vibrant and alive, whatever I saw was palpable. And I marched myself down to a therapist like that afternoon, and I told him, okay, here's the deal. I'm a total narcissist. I'm an absolute mess. I'm arrogant as all day. Nobody else's feelings, thoughts, or opinions matter. Everybody's an idiot. I'm the only voice of reason that makes any sense. I'm elitist. I'm arrogant, and I'm a total shit show. And he looked at me and said, okay, we can work with that. And and about 6 weeks later, he said to me, I would come in and say, okay, here's what I think now. Here's what I think now. Here's where I think this started. Here's how I think this happened. And after about 6 weeks, he said, you know, Chris, I don't think there's much I can do for you. You have had what we call in my world a core flip. And usually it takes something pretty traumatic. Sounds like it was probably your divorce that did it for you. But you've kind of figured it out. All I can say is keep going. You got this. And so that's when I kind of shifted my whole life around. And I was working in the Neuroscience Institute of a hospital at the time, and I was actually doing my education in spiritual psychology, and I put all that together on the back end, and here I am.
Wow. You know, I mean, it's interesting you gave that visual of opening the door and feeling the breeze. I mean, I think for so many of us now, it wasn't as pretty as that, right? We were all forced into now working out of our homes. But, you know, the business world, I think, as we know it, and you brought this up a number of times, but we've all felt it, that taking everything online now is just going to be a huge shift course for business. I mean, I'm curious what you see are some of the opportunities that maybe we should be looking at, you know, as opportunities as women or men. You know, we'll throw men in there too. But, you know, for women specifically, I think there's a hell of an opportunity out there if you pay attention to it, just like you do. But what should we pay attention to?
Right. This is an incredible opportunity. It's the best thing that's happened in a long time, actually. You know, and I know that sounds like craziness, right? But struggle and progress are in a very intimate relationship. You don't get one without the other, right? If you want progress, you need the struggle. And so this time that we're in right now is really the pulling back of the bow. You know, I heard somebody once say, if you want bigger success, get bigger problems. And that's actually something I'll say to somebody in a, right? I'll say that in a parking lot. I have said this in a parking lot. If I did maybe I didn't do the best parking job because I just wasn't paying attention, and somebody would actually say, nice parking job, idiot. And I would say, you need bigger problems. But this is, I like a bow and arrow analogy. This is the pulling back on the bow. The bow and the cord strains and stresses, and it really is uncomfortable. And when it's time and you're ready, you let that arrow go, and it flies long and high. And this is that time. And so the question is, how can we leverage this so that we are positioned for whatever is going to come next? And for our betterment and our benefit.
I like that. I like that. I mean, you know, I've heard a lot of women right now that, you know, some of them are, oh gosh, you know, learning new skills. You know, I've talked to other mm-hmm. members that are saying, you know, I'm working on kind of like a next level, you know, learn and skill that I hadn't, you know, I hadn't been able to spend time on. Or, you know, I mean, you know, the other mm-hmm. nice part is I'm figuring out how to pivot business. I mean, I know that was our big thing is, you know, we're very much an in-person, meet face-to-face, hug each other kind of association, right? And, I mean, this mm-hmm. is a huge shift for us. And yet at the same time, you know, in talking to a couple of our sponsors and our partners, I mean, we came out with something that was like a really big aha for us, which, you know, it's going to be an online membership platform, you know, a virtual membership. And we, mm-hmm. I mean, somebody had brought that up to me 6 years ago, and I was like, you know, we'll never, that's mm-hmm. just not how we roll. And now all of a sudden, bam, you know, we've got to look at that because mm-hmm. it is business as we know it. It may not be back to normal. I mean, I think what the question all of us are going to come out with after all this coronavirus thing is what is normal anymore? You know, I think that's where it's going to be really different. So I'm going to ask for you, like, and through this, how are you, you know, because I know the advisor, it's like, let me ask you just for our audience to know, how are you looking at seizing every opportunity? I know you've got some examples of how business has changed for you as well, just in the, you know, mm-hmm. the chaos that's happened here globally.
Yeah, it really, you know, I mean, I'm seeing it in my own business. And what I tell people, I said, look, you know, if 4 weeks ago I would have said to you, hey, yeah, look, here's all the things that you can do to change your business, you would have said, that's impossible. There's no way it'll work that way. And now, the because we decided it was necessary, all of a sudden, the things that were impossible or even unimaginable are a reality because we decided it was necessary. And so just like anybody else, I said, okay, the first thing I need to do is I'm going to need to shift to an online, a mostly online model. I was about maybe 50% online. So a lot of the shift was very easy for me because it was moving clients, especially like I have one-on-one clients that moves over online. And the even the team engagements, you know, where I'm working with like a leadership team of 8 or 10 people or something like that. I used to be on site with them, you know, even all day I'd be on site. Well, now they're all at their homes and here I am in mine. And so we basically run the same program. It's just done virtually. So it's actually been relatively easy. Now, where it's been a little more challenging has been in live speaking engagements, because that's a big part of my business. I do a lot of work on stage. So of course everything has was first canceled, but then we started talking, said, well, how do we do it online? How can we keep things going? And so, so instead of saying, okay, it's over, we have to stop, we said, okay, how do we turn, right? How do we keep moving?
Right.
Because this is a time to turn, not a time to stop. So it's been a transition, you know, certainly working out of my home. But I'll tell you what, I was very localized in Southern California with the engagements and the one-on-one clients and the corporate teams and everything, because they tended to like having me on site. And now all of a sudden that everything's remote, I started reaching out. Now I'm in Chicago. Now I'm in Seattle. This is actually, I found a way to blow this up for myself. And I just went from regional to national.
It is interesting. I love that. And it is interesting with people that feel all you can do business around is face-to-face. You know, I mean, at every level of online, digital, phone, texting, you know, you lose some mm-hmm. of that people aspect. But I do think there's a way to shift and pivot. And a lot of businesses right now are in a world of hurt trying to figure out how to do that. You know, I mean, we're watching right now how many like bars and restaurants, those that had the capabilities for takeout and delivery are thriving, you know, not thriving, that's a totally wrong word, but I mean, they're mm-hmm. hanging on, right? And others, it's like they mm-hmm. just, they're decimated. I mean, even in the event mm-hmm. industry, I'm seeing, like, we have one member, and I saw what she's doing as a DJ. She's doing virtual dance parties online. I mean, it's just, talk mm-hmm. about that as a shift and a pivot, you know? It's just amazing. I'm curious for
right.
you, if you see the future, like, for you and where you're going with your business, tell us a little bit of where, I mean, you know, we all have these great wild ideas and big plans, but where are you looking to go in the future with your profession and your business? Is this like a keeper for you, or are you going to be on to the next DJ thing? And I'm only joking when I say that.
Yeah, no, I'm not going back to radio for many reasons. It was a lot
bucks
of fun.
An hour, man. Be excited.
Yeah, they can't afford me anymore, you know. So I think for me the future is pretty open. You know, I definitely want to. I'm actually enjoying the way things are right now, except for the fact that I can't go mountain biking because, you know, they closed all the trails. Don't get me started
right.
on that one.
Yeah.
I don't see how closing 500 miles of trails, you know. but yeah, for me, I think it's establishing myself in some key markets. I think the other thing too, and this is for helpful for anybody, is looking at what is their current demographic, or what was their demographic 4 weeks ago? Because the younger generation, right? I'm going to say south of maybe the oldest millennials, so maybe 38 and south of 38, they're pretty accustomed to an online world. And so if you've had a product or a service that was targeting an audience north of 40, how do you start to attract and capture a younger audience? Because they're used to being online. This is just their jam, right? So so I think maybe there's an opportunity. Maybe your company needs to pivot. Maybe your offering needs to pivot. Maybe your product or your service needs to pivot. But these people are used to being online. They grew up in a digital world. They a lot of them can't even imagine a world without the internet, you know? And I think this is very akin to you know, the dot-com bust, the recession of the late 90s. You know, there were a ton of ISPs out there, internet service providers, and there was the recession, and everything blew up. And at the end of the day, there were four standing, and they were, you know, this is when fortunes are made. So, you know, fortunes are made in down economies, and necessity is the mother of all invention. And so somebody, you know, a small group are going to come out really, you know, way on top of this thing. And the question is it going to be you, and how do you make that happen?
Right. And I don't know what the one step would be, but, you know, I'm curious for you if, you know, to me it's like pay, I think it's like question. There was a movie, I don't know if you ever remember the movie called IQ with Walter Matthau, who was Einstein, and Meg Ryan. And one of the things that he was teaching his niece about was she's trying to find the formula to a problem, right? Solving a problem. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she did, he told her to do was question everything, like step by step. Mm-hmm. And I think that for us as professionals right now is the time to do that. You know, I mean, I think so many of us were going through the four stages of grief. You know, we're you know, first of all, it was shock, right, of what's gone on. Mm-hmm. Then it was, okay, now we're, you know, we're frustrated. I think some of us now are completely pissed, you know, that we want to get through this and just get on with business as whatever usual we can find. But there are so many statistics, like you said, where there's opportunity out of, you know, what we're going through. But questioning everything of from how you do it to who you serve and also how you serve them. I mean, any thoughts for you on that of how women can pay more attention to those? Maybe it's time to make a career change. You know, I mean, when women start finding out that they can be virtual and work at home, some women are going to go, I don't want to go to an office anymore. I know that's going to be a fact, and other women will go, I want nothing to do to stay at home. I want to be out of the house every single day. But what are your kind of wrap-up thoughts on how we can maybe start to question everything in our lives?
Well, that really is it. It's you know, and I say this to people quite often, is you're out, totally makes sense, that's perfectly logical, the reasoning is sound. What if you're wrong? Right? What if you're wrong? What if,
right?
You know, and right now, you know, now's a great time. If you've ever said, you know, gosh, I've always wanted to insert blank, right? Now's a great time. I wonder how maybe I could start to do that. Maybe I could incorporate that. Now, as soon as you say that, the chances are the list, the pull down menu in your head of all the reasons why you can't is going to start running almost instantly. And hear it. Yeah, yeah, I hear you. But let's just play for a second. You know, again, we're going to go to Banana World. Let's go to Banana World for a minute. What if there was a way? How might that, even in Banana World, how might that be a way to do it, right? Because it is a time of possibility. Now, and the last thing that I think that is particularly important, because there's a lot of stress and fear about the unknown. And people say, oh, it's a weird time, we don't know what's going to happen. And I say, look, we never know what's going to happen, okay? We've just been confronted with the fact that we are not trained for disruption. So here's kind of a ninja trick. It's what I, you know, what I call a ninja trick, a magic trick, is that you can't fight your neurochemistry, but you can make it work for you. If you're in fear and anxiety, there's a chemical in the brain called norepinephrine, and that's what's running in fear and anxiety. It's also the same brain chemistry that runs when you're excited and really enthusiastic about something. This is why roller coasters are so much fun, right? So if you can hold in your consciousness and hold that vision of something that you really want, that you would love to, even if you don't think it's possible, you know, think about that thing that you really want, and as opposed to being afraid of all the doom and gloom kind of stuff, think about that thing that you want and say three times, I am excited, I am excited, I am excited. What happens is that the polarity shifts. All of that stuff that was holding you back and paralyzing, all that fear, becomes wind in your sails and actually pushes you forward.
Danny, is it really that simple in your mind?
That it's
like
really that
really,
simple.
You know, mind shift. Yeah. I like
I
like it.
Speaking,
you know,
with a
you know, go ahead.
Oh, so I was speaking with a woman who called me up. I said, try that. She was going into a meeting with people that were, in her mind, way above her pay grade kind of thing, and she was so intimidated. She called me up 2 hours later and said, Chris, that worked. I was like, yeah, it's that simple.
Wow. What is it you call the banana thing again? I want to wrap up on that because this is yours, right? This is kind of like your the banana what? Banana thinking? What do you call it?
I'm actually almost done with a book that I'm writing. We talk about going to banana world. You know, give yourself permission to play in the fantastic, the spectacular, the ridiculous, and the absurd. If you give yourself that permission, it opens doors and removes the barriers to here's all the reasons why it doesn't work, right? Because when you know you're in banana land, all that stuff goes away anyway. So it actually does facilitate some creative solutions and ideas.
I think, you know, dude, the band, that's a wrap. I'm like, we're out of time. That's the best way to wrap this up. I want to go to Banana World on a regular basis. So that's going to be on my wish list for the next thing. I want to say good luck to you with the book. I can't wait till that comes out. We'll have you back. To all of our listeners, I want to say thank you for listening. I know this is just unsettling times, you know, but be there for each other. It's like reach out to somebody you haven't talked to in a while. Chris, thank you for being our leading man today. And as I think those of you that don't know, we're an international show. We're here every, and we've been through this whole virus crisis. We've been here every morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time, every Friday at 2 p.m. And our hope is that we can get back to whenever that can happen to more of a state of normalcy. But in the meantime, you know, I always say, please, you know, take a moment and be a support of other women and just other men and women today with what's going on. We'll see you on the next show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.